WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
This news is unofficial. That comment is too sarcastic.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
For those of you who are recovering from a hangover, that's going to sound just right.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Basically, I believe that man is a misunderstood genius.
Heartbreak Mike.
A man can't do comedy to save his dick.
The Omega.
There's a man who's screaming out to be made fun of.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You know, it wouldn't kill you people to salute me once in a while.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have seen the earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
Let's play this backwards and see if it gets any better.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I have not heard this song in a long freaking time. That was weird.
It's a ball type of night.
I've got the big balls. She's got the big balls.
Yeah. And they're all on fire.
It's going to be one of those nights. So we will begin. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
We're hearing about a guy's balls.
Let's not.
Oh, wait till segment two. It might be a different type of balls.
Oh, you're talking about, like, the song?
Yeah.
Okay. Just to clarify so Mike doesn't growl too much.
I almost skipped the show and just went to bed. I have a feeling I'm going to regret that. And, of course, leading this cavalcade of whatever we are, the one and only Tim Stein.
I love how you hesitated right there, right before you broke into the intro. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It is the week before Great Balls of Fire, hence AC/DC with their big balls bringing us in. And Matt, just so you know, that wasn't a new open. It's just that we've got so many in the rotation now that one hasn't been played for a long, long, long time. I made that like, oh my God, it feels like last year. Of course, that we're talking about the WTR intro used tonight, which was themed Good Morning Vietnam.
May 15th, 2016.
Okay, so over a year ago. A year and a bit. Yeah, so if I'm sounding a little raspy, those of you who may have been listening since we started with the little pre-show banter, little under the weather, have been under the weather for pretty much just about a week, scratchy throat still, and the voice is a little bit rough as a result of suffering through a summertime chest cold. Those things suck, that's all I can tell you. And I just hope that none of you ever have to go through it, because it sucks.
Theraflu is magic.
Except, of course, for the people that I don't like. Then they should have a summer cold all year round.
Should they?
Well, if I don't like them, I don't care, right?
This is true.
Yeah. So there it is.
Hold on. I have a question for you. Why does Earl Hebner always get to referee the women's matches?
Because he pays people off.
Seniority.
Because he's always reffing the women's matches. I'm just saying. Just wanted to point it out.
He's a dirty old man.
He's what you inspire to be.
How old is Earl Hebner?
I would say in his late 60s, maybe early 70s.
He can't be that old. Really? Google is your friend. Give it a try.
That's exactly where I'm headed at the moment.
There you go. Yeah, just so you know, everybody, next week is the WWE pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire. So we got the preview and pick'em planned for segment 3 tonight. But before we dive into anything, just happening this afternoon, and it's not on the run sheet, so I'm just going to bring it up right now. I want to send out my sincerest heartfelt condolences and sympathies to the Hart family. Bret Hart, Natty Hart, Natty Neidhart, sorry. Everybody on the passing of Smith Hart, who unfortunately succumbed to prostate cancer early this afternoon. Now, this was not an unexpected thing. Everybody knew what was coming. Just nobody, unfortunately, nobody knew when. But, condolences to the Hart family.
Now, with that being said, he's 68 years old.
Okay, there you go. So I guess I am aspiring to be him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was going to say if he was younger than me, then he'd be aspiring to be me. But no, not happening.
Oh, you really want to be Earl Hebner?
Probably not. But, yeah, anyway, let's just dive right into it. Money in the Bank, the first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Of course, we all know what happened at the pay-per-view. Oh, my God, was that like last weekend? Man.
I hesitate to guess.
Flashbacks.
There you go. Of course, a man won the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Yes, I know Carmella got the briefcase, but, you know, in all circumstances, and everybody's all up in arms over the whole thing. So what happened? Daniel Bryan comes out and says, we're going to redo this on Tuesday night. So they did.
And they actually had the match we expected them to have on the pay-per-view. And as we talked about last week, Tim, right here on the show, how much time they were given, they came out with entrances starting at 9:30. And the match ended about 9:58 Eastern time.
Okay, so from my time, Mountain Time, 7:30 to 7:58 p.m., with entrances included, it gives them a grand total of 28 minutes to get their asses into the ring and win the briefcase.
Yeah, so they had the final half hour to themselves, which is what we suggested they do last week on the show.
Which is all fine and dandy. How long did the entrances take?
Less than 4 minutes.
All together, all time. So you're looking at 24 minutes of match time, which is not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing. Carmella still won.
And they hit her well. Like
they hate her well.
They hit her well.
Oh, they hid her well.
They put her into spots to, you know, where she's protected. They did some nice spots with her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a really good match.
Now, here's the thing. Why didn't they just give us this match to begin with at the pay-per-view?
Because they were protecting the women. They didn't know if they could handle being in that kind of match, especially, you know, girls like Carmella who don't have the experience of a Tamina or a Natty. It was a precautionary measure. It was both to give them some experience with how to use the ladders and how to take those bumps and spots without actually, you know, putting them in that much of a danger.
Yeah, well, you know, at the same time, I have a bit of a problem with that. Having run an indie show and having women work on my roster, a lot of them are tougher than some of the guys on the roster, I'll tell you that right now. And I don't think they needed the trial run for that. Sure, they've got a couple of, you know, air quotes, homegrown talents. But again, you had people who could carry them. You had, Natty, Charlotte, Tamina. who have all been trained in more than just one style of wrestling, and they would be able to carry the entire women's roster in a ladder match.
Well, it's
and
not
make
a matter.
Everyone look good.
It's not a matter of carrying. It's a matter of can Carmella actually fall off a ladder and hang her, put hook herself onto the top rope without, you know, breaking her spine.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot Natalya can do to carry that.
You know, at the same time, they had a lot of time to prepare for all of this too, right? And, attempt to work out any kinks. Cause something like that, you got 4 weeks to prepare for the SmackDown branded pay-per-view. You got a lot of time to, run through things, practice and stuff like that. Sure. Yeah. Okay. You're doing, 5 shows a week in different cities. You're still in that city early enough. You can go over your match for that night and still talk about what you're going to be doing at the upcoming pay-per-view, especially when you got 4 weeks to prepare for it.
And they also have a performance center where they can go anytime to work on things and no one would know.
So
there was only one bad spot in that match. They had Tamina underneath the ladder, and the idea was for her to push the ladder up. Well, they had to reverse where she had to push Charlotte off the ladder from.
Uh-huh.
So Charlotte has her choke, the spot where they lay the ladder on the person, and then they just push up. So it's facing one direction. Charlotte starts to climb, and then looks down to me, and it's like, hey, we can't do this spot. So she climbs down the ladder. They turn the ladder, and then Charlotte starts climbing, and then this is bad directing, camera work, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They show Tamina sliding her way back in position on the other side of the to do the spot. They watch her slide underneath.
Having worked a camera for wrestling events, having edited the camera, the video for it, you can see how it's not the easiest thing to do when it's, pre-recorded and then you're putting it all together to make a DVD. It's not easy when it's pre-recorded.
But this was live, so, you know.
That's my point. It's not easy. It's difficult enough when it's pre-recorded and you can switch back, the 2 or 3 camera system when you have to do it live. And you don't really know what the spots are going to be if you're in the production crew, video production crew. You really don't know the spots. That's why you have so many cameras.
Yeah, but all they had to do was do a tight shot on Charlotte climbing. That's what killed it. That's all.
Yeah.
But beyond that, the match was really good. They all had a chance to shine in the match, which is what they didn't have in the first match.
So that is another important thing, making sure that they handle it the way they handle the men's matches, where every worker in the ring has their 5 minutes in the spotlight.
Right. Everyone got to do a big move. Everyone, either a big move or a big moment. They all had a chance.
Yeah.
Becky got her revenge on Ellsworth because even though he was banned, he came back. They redid the spot. He climbs up the ladder. This time she shoves him off, and he's gone this time around.
So after what happened on Tuesday, will we see more women's ladder matches? Money in the Bank or any other reason?
When's TLC in October this year? September, October? Yeah.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I expect a women's ladder match then, or next year's Money in the Bank. Raw will get their chance to do it.
So
yeah, I hope we see this.
It should be. They should be doing more matches like this.
Yeah, because we've been going. It's kind of been the WWE's mission for a while now, is just to give these stipulation matches to the women one at a time, just to see how they go over and if they can manage it. You think Hell in a Cell, that'd be about as big of a test as you could get, but, ladder match is a wholly different beast, so I'm happy that we're getting there.
Yeah.
Well, in this day and age, 21st century and all this other stuff, you would think that we would have it figured out that, just because they're female doesn't mean that they're the fairer sex, but doesn't necessarily mean they're the weaker sex. I don't think that is such a thing as that anymore. And the only time in my purview that has actually held sway is when we have basically let it happen because of, call it customer tradition or upbringing or that's just the way it's always been.
Now, here's the thing. Not taking away from the Money in the Bank match, they also did a Last Woman Standing match on NXT with Nikki Cross and Asuka. And they did a superplex spot off a ladder through an announce table.
I'd almost guarantee that was Asuka's favorite move.
I think it was Nikki Cross's favorite move, too. and that got you points.
I'm cleaning up. I'm happy.
Because it was a table spot, announced table spot, championship retention for you. Yeah. Anyway.
So.
But it was a big week for women's wrestling. It was a good shining moment when they did the ladder match. We get to see more of it. Because you got girls now who are willing to do those type of things.
Yeah, but the only question I have, is it just a little bit too obvious that Carmella won the, air quote, legit match? The second one, the redo? What do you think, Omega?
I don't think it's too obvious. I think it's what you do when you're a slimy heel.
No.
You know, you worm your way into victories one way or another.
Well, I don't see how they could have pulled off what they did at the pay-per-view and then have Carmella, because they want Carmella to have the briefcase, understood. But I don't see what they could have done to do a swerve. Oh, well, okay, she won it. Now let's do the redo. Oh, look, Carmella won it instead. And the only thing I could think of, with the type of booking that they had at the pay-per-view, is if somebody had rolled into the ring just in time to intercept the dropping of the briefcase, but I don't know if that would have been doable or even believable. What do you think?
I thought about that spot. It's just, in my mind, it's hard to pull off because you have to be timed correctly.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, you know, that said, I guess we got to wait till TLC for another one, and I'm sure that we shouldn't be disappointed now that they've got it figured out.
And if you give two girls an opportunity, that would be interesting because now you don't have to worry about all the five people trying to get everyone a spot in. Now you give the two girls to really have a match.
Okay, now, you said that, so, Rock, book it. Who are your two opponents?
Which brand?
You know what? Do both. And don't go interbrand. Stay in-house. But do Raw, then do SmackDown.
Honestly, if built upright, you turn Sasha heel.
Yeah.
Sasha Bailey in a ladder match, they would be able to pull it off. And then you do on the SmackDown side, Charlotte and Natty, I think, would be really good in a ladder match. Because I think they would do enough to tell the story. It wouldn't be your traditional ladder match. I could see them... Well, what we consider a traditional ladder match. I could see Charlotte and Natty having the Shawn Razor type ladder match.
Okay.
The safer ladder match where the ladder is used, but not like, oh my God, we need spot with the ladder.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. What about you, Omega?
That would just about mirror my preferences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would expect Sasha to turn heel for a situation like that. And yeah, her and Bailey, we've seen in NXT, they can pretty much handle whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
And make it work. So
do you make it for a title or do you just make it a match? Say it's at, one of the big four pay-per-views.
Well, we were talking about a ladder match, right? So you'd have to have something hanging up there.
Well, not in every case, but yeah, you know.
Well, you either hang a championship match, you either hang a championship title up there, or one of Bailey's inflatable people. One or the other. I think it's going to be the title.
Yeah, there you go. Bailey's inflatable people.
The Bailey buddies.
Bailey buddies. Ooh, hey, market it.
That's why they're called Bailey
that
buddies.
That is what they're called. That
I know. Mean. God, you guys. You just miss the obvious sometimes.
They actually have made them into little toys now. Which is
I swear to God.
Which is actually kind of cool.
I'm having a hard time really picking anybody different on the Raw roster. I just don't think that you need to turn Sasha heel in order to do this. There's really, in this day and age, there's no real reason for it anymore. But on the SmackDown, the first name that popped into my head that wasn't Natalya was Tamina. The second one was Charlotte, you know, so Natty Charlotte or Natty Tamina. I don't know why, but I just think that Natty and Tamina would be able to pull off a great ladder match.
But the problem is I don't think people would buy Tamina in that match.
Yeah, she would need a build and a pretty good one.
Well, so give her a build, you know. You got however long it's going to take. So
I mean, you could make her out to be like the Nia Jax on the SmackDown brand. The wardrobe department already decided to do that. And you could build her up to be like a monster heel on that division. You know, the benefit of the fact that she's been away for so long means you can pretty much invent her any way you want right now.
Yeah, I suppose. So anyway, yeah, there it is. Moving on. Guess what's back? Punjabi prison match.
Does it have to be?
Good news, Omega. The great Kali's not involved in this one.
I cringed just from when Jinder invoked the name.
Well, maybe they'll be able to actually do what Vince envisioned when they first came up with this, whatever that might have been, which would be, hey, a match that people liked. I don't know. But based on what we have experienced in the past, is there any reason legit for us to actually look forward to this thing until it happens?
Honestly, Punjabi Prison, like, even if you get, like, even if you, like, take an account, like, we've never really seen it with the Great Khali, or we haven't ever seen it with two performers who could really carry it off, because, like, one of them was the Big Show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's one of the most convoluted matches in WWE history. Between the double cage, the opening doors for 60 seconds. It feels like a match that's trying way, way too hard. Punjabi Prison always felt like, it always felt like Vince Russo just had one leftover idea they decided to use one day.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna be dreading it, and I'm not gonna be anticipating it. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna watch it, and then I'll make up my mind. I'm not expecting anything, so maybe, and hopefully, that winds up giving us a pleasant surprise collectively. If, we don't, you know, we have to keep our expectations low, I guess. So, but as far as gimmick matches go, that's definitely not up there, in the top 10 or even probably the top 100. But what do you think's the worst gimmick match ever?
Good lord.
You can pick one that they're still doing other than Punjabi Prison, or one that they haven't done since they realized how stupid it was.
Oh god, I've got so many flooding through my brain right now.
First one that drops out, pops out.
I'm trying to think of the name of it as a thing.
Well, what do you do?
Because in my head, I remember a match where, as videos play in my ear when I'm trying to actually... Kennel from Hell comes to mind, yes.
Viagra on a pole. Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
Yeah, Judy Bagwell on a forklift. I'm trying to remember the name of that stupid four-corner pole match where there were boxes at the top of each pole.
Coal miners something?
That wasn't the coal miners glove match.
I don't think it was, because the title was in one of those boxes, not specifically like a... Okay, yeah, let me see. Yeah, I'm confirming now. Yeah, it was the San Francisco's 49ers match.
Okay, it's basically the same thing, yeah. That was awful, too.
I don't know what you guys are going to think about this, but I think it was awful. WCW, and this is where David Arquette... I think it was the one where David Arquette won the title, but WCW was trying to outdo Hell in the Cell. So they put, like, two or three cages on top of each other?
The triple-tier cage from Ready to Rumble.
Yeah.
Great concept. Awful, awful execution.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Horrible match. That said, I still want to see War Games again.
See, the triple cage at least has some kind of merit in that you're adding a ladder match style element to a cage match. And I think that's what everyone has thought about putting a ladder match inside of a cage match.
Mm-hmm.
Where I almost felt like that triple cage would have given us like those elements. And hey, there's a reason to climb the cage instead of, you know, Shane. Mick Foley.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they did an awful scaffold match. Did WCW with, like, Shane Douglas and Torrey Wilson and Kidman and someone else.
WCW did a lot of bad shit. Trying to outdo WWF.
The uncensored pay-per-view where they fought on the back of a pickup truck.
Oh, God.
I forget what the hell the name of the match was, but it was on a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. You also had the hardcore match in the junkyard.
That was bad too.
There's got to be something that TNA did that tops everything.
That red cage.
Oh god.
Oh god, the dome.
The dome.
The dome no one could fucking climb out of.
They didn't call that the Thunderdome.
No.
What did they call it?
They got beyond that.
Okay, I was thinking. Oh god. Thanks, Omega.
Well done, Omega.
I liked it. It took you a second.
I like, well, old GC did, yeah. That was a grenade. You lobbed it out there a few seconds later. Okay, we got it.
Steel Asylum.
Yeah. Steel Asylum.
Steel Asylum, okay. Yeah, that was, yeah, nobody could get out.
I remember they also had a match where they did up the whole ring like the Alamo with like plastic bull skulls. And
damn.
It looked like they raided a Tex-Mex restaurant for all of its decorations.
Yeah. I was just trying to think. There have been a lot of really bad gimmick matches that they've only done one off, and it was that bad that they never did it again. And I just, I'm blanking out. Really. Maybe Google will be your friend.
Stairs match.
Omega's favorite.
A staring match.
The stairs match.
I know. Jesus. You know, sometimes they say things that you're just supposed to like, oh, okay, yeah, funny.
Well, I'm half paying attention and half watching a pay-per-view, so.
You're half watching a pay-attention view. Okay, got it. never mind. You're half paying attention to watching the view? What?
So what's next, Whoopi?
Whoopi? Don't call me Whoopi.
Okay, Joy.
Joy? Don't call me Joy.
I don't know anyone else on that show.
So, Walk, how is the pay-per-view progressing?
It's been an awesome pay-per-view tonight.
I don't believe it. You never said anything. Oh boy. You could have said blah, 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 blah. But you didn't. I said yeah, and you failed.
Going back to watching Lashley versus El Patron.
There you go. So is it any good?
The match, yeah.
The pay-per-view itself, has it been any good?
Didn't I just answer this question? I said it's been awesome.
It's been awesome. Okay.
They actually feel, for the first time, it doesn't look like Impact is phoning in a pay-per-view.
Well, maybe Impact...
It's not technically Impact anymore.
Well, it's confusing because they keep calling themselves Impact.
Well, hang on a second. Now, we're going to be talking about this coming up in segment two. But, you said, it doesn't feel like Impact's phoning in a pay-per-view. There might be a reason for that, and we'll talk about it in the second segment. I just want to keep TNA. I just want to keep the Impact pay-per-view in everybody's minds for when we get there.
All right, I'll put it like this to you, Tim. Tonight they had Father James Mitchell.
Ooh, shit. He was back?
Yes.
He was for a long time, he was the main reason to watch TNA. Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it. Anyway, continuing on with bad gimmicks, the Ball family appeared on Miz TV on Monday.
They got people talking.
They got people talking, and they say that there's no such thing as bad publicity, which I kind of sort of disagree with a little bit, having grown up in a media family. No need to elaborate on that. It's just, yeah, there is such a thing as bad publicity. That said, why were we subjected to the Ball family on Miz TV? Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. They're trying to market Big Baller Brand.
Because someone backstage said, I don't know how you could possibly make a segment worse than Bailey, This Is Your Life. And then someone said, I got this.
Yeah, somebody said, hold my beer. Yeah, instead, like, that's the Canadian thing. Instead of saying, I got this, we say, hold my beer.
Well, hold my beer is the usual joke. So I try to.
Oh, okay.
I try to be a little bit different with it.
Well, I've seen both, right? And it's, like when I'm going onto Twitter and I see somebody saying, doing this thing to point out some stupid thing that somebody did. I see American people, saying, I got this, but I see Canadian people on my timeline saying, hold my beer. So, but anyway, that said, how'd you like the segment, Mike?
Fuck those guys. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of the Ball family.
What, you don't believe in paying $500 for a god-awful ugly shoe from somebody who hasn't done anything yet?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
They're kind of those people where it's like they get rich quick schemes. I'm sorry.
Yep. Go ahead.
LeVar Ball. Okay, I get it. The guy was a retired basketball player. Okay. I don't care. I don't give a fuck about you. And then your son, who may be your son, we don't know.
Lonzo?
Yeah, we can say that. Why? Like, why?
How old is he? 15?
LaMelo is 15.
Okay, that was LaMelo. I got him mixed up because, like, one of them was wearing braces.
Like, I'm just sitting here and I'm like, if you're wearing braces, why the fuck are you in WWE? I'm sorry. I hate to do this, but it's like Vince McMahon, Vince, in the Michael Jackson voice, Vince, no Vince.
That didn't sound like Michael Jackson.
I don't care.
It's South Park Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, that's the South Park Michael Jackson. Okay. Because I'm used to Michael talking about, like, he talks like this, especially when he talks to Oprah, Bubby, and a virgin because of his religious beliefs.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, first of all,
did I really hear that?
And then you drop the N-bomb.
Yeah, I didn't catch it. What part of the segment did that happen?
That was just after Dean came out.
Before Dean came out.
Okay.
That was just when Dean was coming down the ramp.
And so it was sort of like under all the other noise.
Oh, no, grab the live microphone. You could hear it.
I wonder how I missed that. Have to listen to that part on the replay to see if it's still there.
Oh, it is.
Now, my question is, did he get in trouble afterwards? And I'm not talking about from the censors or from Vince or from WWE officials.
He got in trouble by me.
You don't talk that shit on live TV, motherfucker. What you doing? From his, like, old man or some shit. You know, the person who's supposed to instill discipline into the kid.
But see, the messed up part is you could see Dean's face like, oh, we could say that.
Or it's like, whoa, did I hear that?
Booker T is smiling, but, you know.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, we coming to get you, sucker. Only he didn't say sucker. Yeah. Oh, shit, that clip, yeah. Well, you guys already know what that clip caused when we were talking to Booker T on WTR.
But all in all, I'm sorry. If you were going to do a guest host, please have someone that's going to catch my attention. I went to go pee, and then that bullshit happened. That's just how I feel.
Yeah. Like, I'm already sick of this family. It's all because of that dad running his mouth. Like, I feel so bad for the kid. It's like, okay, you know, I believe he's worth some of the hype.
He's not. I'm going to be like,
some.
Is he going to be a better baller than Steve Nash?
No.
There you go. That's all that matters. If you're not as good as Steve Nash, sit down, shut up, and open up your ears, close your mouth.
But God, I feel bad for him because his dad will not shut the fuck up.
It's coming across, not just on the Miz TV segment, but it's just coming across with this whole thing. Oh, my son, you're going to be somebody. So that means that I'm a bigger somebody because I'm your old man. So everybody, look at me. I follow that bitch.
Yeah, cause he wishes he had, like, that level of success and attention.
Yeah.
He really, really wants it
to
be him.
The old man is desperate and jealous is what it is.
Yeah, he's like one of those parents that's always trying to make their kid into, like, you know, like a celebrity.
Stop.
So, trying to be the dad of the, you know, of the movie, the child actor, because I was never talented enough to make it, so you gotta make it for me, and I'll act like I did all the work.
There you go. Yeah, no, I get what you're talking. What do they call that type of, is that a sycophant? What's a sycophant? Parasite! There you go. He's a parasite. He's leeching off his kid's potential future success.
I don't know. The word I heard in my head when he was running his mouth was douche bucket.
Douche bucket, that's impressive. I like that. It's funny too.
I'd say accurate. Jeez.
100% accurate.
But they're not going to have him back, at least.
You would hope not. Definitely would hope not. Meanwhile, I am suffering problems with my computer. Everything just locked up.
Uh-oh.
That's brilliant. Not
good. Yeah, so.
My thoughts on it is, WWE, don't do it again. Don't ever do that again, please.
Well, I'm just thinking, here it is. Not to interrupt or cut you off, but I'm interrupting and cut you off. Can't help but think of, you know, give him the Hulk Hogan treatment. Blackball him. What? So. Anyway. Yeah, I was not impressed with that role. I have not been impressed with the Ball family since I heard about them for the first time. And this segment, if I even had an inkling of wasting more money than I would pay for a car on a pair of shoes, this definitely killed it. As he makes noise with his microphone. Just adjusting the damn thing. So, anyway, yeah, I don't really know what else we could talk about that. So, on that note, guys have anything to add really quickly before we go to break?
Don't do that again.
Corner. Yeah, there you go. Corner.
Why did we make this family famous in the first place?
There you go. It's like, oh my God, Honey Boo Boo, reincarnated. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're taking our first time out of the evening. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Impact, and we're going to elaborate on what we hinted at in a little bit. Don't forget WTR Pick'em coming up, segment 3. We'll be back right after this. Catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What is the greatest television theme song of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Adams Family, their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Adams Family.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now, when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not does that mean that you're next? But most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Tablespoons of cinnamon and two or three egg whites, a half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby. Stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour.
Just making sure it's positioned.
Someone was not ready to come back.
Just making sure it's positioned. Okay, are we back yet?
It's why the music is playing, yes.
Oh, hey, well, in that case, welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Just going around trying to keep things a little bit lighthearted, having a little bit of fun here and there. Don't forget, we are streaming simulcast on the TuneIn app, free on your mobile device. Just download it, search for Wild Talk Radio Network. You can listen to not just WTR Sunday Night, but all Wild Talk Radio Network programming, no matter where you are. And we got something in development as far as the Wild Talk Radio Network goes. There might be a new program potentially coming on, and if that's the case, I'll just let you know right now. If it does come to fruition, it won't have anything to do with professional wrestling. That's all I'm gonna, that's the only hint you get.
Hockey?
Or it won't even be talking about hockey.
Ooh.
Scary, huh?
Uncharted territory.
It will not be politically correct, so I'm just warning you right now, it's gonna be one of those, programs that's gonna set some people off. Again, it's in development, more details as things progress if it actually comes to fruition. Deal?
Sure.
Are you interested yet?
Well, it is an announcement that an announcement is coming. So I'll tell you after it's been announced.
Because I took a page out of Dixie Carter's TNA stuff. Big announcement that we're going to have a big announcement. Which leads us into the rebranding of Impact Wrestling. It's going to be officially renamed Global Force Wrestling. They're going to keep the name Impact for the TV show. But I read somewhere the other day, Jeff Jarrett actually met with people like Spike TV.
That again.
But here it is. Dixie Carter's out of the picture. So maybe not a bad idea. By all reports from our intrepid pay-per-view watcher, the producer Sorokin, tonight's pay-per-view was a really good one. That being the case, if it's back on track, then I'll start watching Impact Wrestling again. I swore off of it after, a few years ago after it just went right into the shitter. You know that. I think you swore off, I don't know if you actually officially swore off it, but you kind of like, no, I'm not watching this crap.
No, I just said, fuck it.
Well, yeah, you know, I was paraphrasing. I don't know, Mike, did you ever watch TNA? Did you ever care about it?
I didn't care about it. That's all.
Okay, you're super quiet. Talk louder.
Yeah, because I don't care about TNA right now.
Yeah, but now that they're renaming and rebranding, and it's going to be Global Force Wrestling.
Mike Tenay has to come back to commentary.
Okay, there you go. As far as getting rid of TNA and calling it GFW, good move or bad move, Omega?
Good move.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, for one, wrestling fans are kind of programmed to associate a wrestling show, wrestling promotion with three letters. So it was a little weird to have Impact Wrestling, you know, especially because we knew that was the show, not the brand. So now it has a brand again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more amused by the fact that Jeff Jarrett's little fledgling promotion that I'm not even sure really accomplished all that much is now somehow got that on television by retaking his previous creation.
Yeah.
There's a weird irony to how this works and loops around.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. One thing that I think it was Rock told me that what's the name of the company? And if he was here right now, he'd just chime in right now and explain the whole thing. What's not a claim?
I can help you if you describe it.
Well, I'm just there's a company that took it over.
Anthem.
Anthem, that's it, yeah. So Anthem basically is paying for everything. They got a deal in place for Anthem and somebody else to pay for it. And Jeff's running it.
Well, TNA's favorite tactic is to get someone else to pay for everything, so.
Which, in this situation, not such a bad idea. Not, you know, like, because you got Jeff basically back in control of his creation, really, right? Mm-hmm. As far as the rebranding goes, I mean, like you said, you know, once it's stuck in your head, well, I don't care who the, you know, new owners, I don't care. It's the same name. I'm not interested in the same name. So yeah, here it is. Anthem bought, GFW and, TNA. And basically it's just getting merged into GFW and he doesn't have to put any money into it at all. Anthem is paying for everything. So he's going to have money to be able to do the shit that he wants to do. Jeff Jarrett has I don't know if he's got a great business mind or not, but he's got a good creative mind for the business, don't you think?
He has a good creative mind. I think at this point, being able to talk people into anything is pretty much his greatest talent. You're taking a sinking ship and you have actually successfully managed to find some way to keep it afloat even after, you know, how many times have we called it dead?
He talks to the wrong people. That's the problem.
What was that, Mike?
He talks to the wrong people.
Well,
he's very smart.
You can't say Anthem is the wrong people at this point in time, can you?
No, I'm talking about in the early years.
Because
but trust me, Global Force Wrestling, super smart move. He did his own thing because a lot of people kind of tarnished, I can't even say TNA, Impact Wrestling, rebranded it. Jeff Jarrett did something that a lot of people didn't do. He did, was it Octagon Ring? Pentagon Ring? He was the one that did that. Ultimate X. Like, and now it went from that to like a four, to the classic four, classic squared circle. Jeff Jarrett was original.
Mm-hmm.
The people that...
You know, to be fair, the Hexagon Ring was around in AAA for much longer.
But you see how he adapted.
Well, he was trying to do something different than WWE, which is what, you know, TNA always had to do.
Well, they ended up having, I hate to say it, but they ended up having Bischoff and Hogan, and you had WCW 2.0.
The hard part about that is while you definitely need to do your own thing. There's also the thing of name value that you do need in order to pull people's attention. And sometimes those are the people who are available. So those are the people they pull in, you know? You know, they did, you know, we saw like, you know, I'll harp it up every time I get the chance. Over in Lucha Underground, they try to be as different as possible, but they still had like Chavo Guerrero in the early episodes. Rock, I swear he goes away. And then you have like, you have John Morrison there, and Del Rio shows up, Ray shows up, because they know they, even though they're being different, even though they're presenting an alternative, you still need someone to be on that show that makes people go, oh, I haven't seen them in a while. Oh, I gotta go. I gotta watch that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being different is just the hook. You still need something to be bait.
You gotta have something that will draw people. Johnny Morrison, whatever he's calling himself nowadays, that's a big name out there on the indie scene.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, you know, if a wrestling show's coming to town and he's on the card, I'm immediately interested. Alberto El Patron? I don't, well, it's, you know, it's Alberto Del Bloody Rio. Who cares? Not a fan, sorry. But, they got other names there, right? And yeah, okay, they've had other names, when it was still, TNA and all that other fun stuff. And I wasn't watching. And that's because creative was absolutely in the toilet as far as I'm concerned. So, but now, the news, they're rebranding, they're changing the name, they got good talent, they're gonna have people writing the shows who actually know what they're doing when it comes to, professional wrestling shows. So, now I'm interested again in at least catching one episode when they, you know, get back onto regular TV, normal TV, whatever you wanna call that. And if it's a good show that I happen to tune in, I'll probably come back. But if it still sucks, I won't come back.
You suck.
I don't care who's running a promotion, as long as the person running it is smart enough to let creative be creative and make sure that creative knows professional wrestling. I don't want somebody who writes the Gilmore Girls to book a match that I have to watch. Gilmore Girls might be good for some people. You're not going to take that same type of writing and turn it into a good wrestling match. It's just, you know, it's been proven ad infinitum. No matter how many times you hire Hollywood writers, WWE, you need to hire from within the business. In fact, I would go so far as to say that there are some wrestling fans out there who could write a better wrestling show than people hired to do it, because they write professionally for television. Not to toot my own horn, but I wrote better wrestling shows than some of the stuff I've seen in WWE. Toot, toot.
Yeah, there's people who write.
I toot my own horn, but.
Yeah, they were exactly.
I don't know. Thank God it's not ran by the same people. Thank you, Jeff Jarrett, for return for coming home and taking your stuff back. Thank you.
There you go. So yeah, there it is. Global Force Wrestling, start paying attention to Impact again now, people. I think, this is not an endorsement. This is a, cross your fingers and cautiously accept the changes and then see for yourself. And if it is even remotely entertaining, give them your business. Even if your business is just tuning in and being, a member of the audience. Because good deserves to be recognized. Consider yourself lectured. But, back to WWE and, my buddy, Tyson Kidd, he's coming back, in a new capacity this time around. Of course, injury, sustained, as the result of, bit of a botch with a muscle buster when he was, having a match with Samoa Joe, causing, severe neck trauma. And I've seen the x-rays. It was bad. It was really, really bad. Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson, he's never going to wrestle again. It's worse than Daniel Bryan's problems. It's that bad. But, he's coming back now full time as an agent.
Well, nice to see him back in any capacity at this point.
Like, yeah.
This has been going on a long time. It's been kind of scary.
Yeah.
It's from someone who does not know him. It's like every update I heard on him was worse and worse than the last one. And you don't normally get that. Like normally yeah. It's like, well, they're on the road to recovery. You know, they're back in the gym and they're starting to push their weights again. Like, no, this has been awful.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I have ongoing casual contact with TJ. I chat with him. I don't want to say regularly because it's not like I talk to him every week, but I was basically sworn to secrecy and silence and was told, please don't bring this up on your little radio internet show. So I kept my mouth shut because, you know, he's a friend and that's what you do for friends. After the injury and his surgery, he was okay. He can walk around. He's got no mobility problems or anything like that. It's just a case of he can't ever wrestle again. That's all there is to it. One more spear and Edge is paralyzed, potentially quadriplegic. Kind of like that idea with Tyson Kidd. But as far as the rest of his world, things are pretty much all right. He's okay. Just so everybody knows. I mean, now that it's been made official, I'm allowed to divulge what I've just divulged. So, but as an agent, how do you think Tyson Kidd's going to do?
It's not actually sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the role has changed so much. It's hard to tell, but you know, anytime you get new blood in there, it's generally not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him around with like his last run was with Cesaro, right? When Cesaro was really kind of taking off. So he's been up more on the current product and what WWE audiences respond to.
Well, of course, you know, keeping in mind, of course, naturally, he's married to Natalya, so he's got, you know, that immediate thing. They kept him off Total Divas for the last season just to so he doesn't talk about what's going on or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be on the next season. He's back. So more stuff will get divulged, I'm sure, on that show that I never watch. no offense to Natty and TJ. It's just not my cup of tea. Fake reality shows. And I call it a fake reality show because that's what reality shows are. They're fake. Wrestling isn't. Reality shows are. So, but here's the thing. As an agent, people are going to have to remember that this kid was trained in the Hart dungeon. He grew up around the Hart family. He married his childhood sweetheart, Natalya Neidhart, a member of the Hart family. He knows the business inside and out like nobody else. I think that he's going to be all right. I think he's going to do okay. I think he's going to help in his role as agent. That's what I think.
Yeah, I hope he does, sincerely.
Well, yeah. I don't think there's any member of the Wild Talk Radio Network family, past or present, that would wish Tyson ill in any capacity at all. He's just one of the greatest guys I happen to know. He really is just an exceedingly decent human being. And even if you're just a fan, he will remember to send you a private message if you follow each other on like Facebook or whatever. And he will wish somebody he's never met a happy birthday. I know a lot of people who won't wish their family members a happy birthday.
Right. But see, and that's, I respect him and Natalya because they're both genuine, amazing, phenomenal individuals.
Exactly.
Like I met Natalya at a Raw show, and I'll send you guys the pictures. She's so amazing. Regardless of how busy it is, she'll always take the time to take pictures. And I'm just like, wow.
Did you ever even for a split second get the impression that she was doing that because it was part of her job and she wanted, you know, she was doing it because she had to do it?
No.
Exactly. That's Natty. She'll take time.
Sweetheart. She's a sweetheart.
Yep. She gets mad at me sometimes, but only when certain people who listen to us run into her and complain about me. I'll explain that to you someday, Mike. Don't let me forget. Remind me someday to explain to you what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's funny. But anyway, yeah, all I can say is best of luck to my buddy TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, on his upcoming role with WWE, and way to be WWE for keeping him in the family and finding a place for him, finding a fit for him, because he deserves it. If anybody does, he does. But our next topic, I'm trying to figure this one out. WWE has cast the role of a young Bray Wyatt for a future film, and they've also got a film project based around Mae Young. Okay, I can understand a documentary style movie about Mae Young, but Bray Wyatt, Omega?
Well, I don't know, if you want to portray like a creepy backstory thing, that kind of makes sense. I mean,
now if you're doing a complete fiction, what type of movie do you see that potentially being?
Potentially horror.
Yeah. Could you think of a horror movie that is out that you know exists that might be along the line that would work for Bray?
That's I will admit I'm not up on my horror. I'm not a fan of horror movies to begin with. So
okay, if it's a good one, then I like them. But you know, the slasher flicks and stuff, those aren't horror movies. They're just stupid, if you ask me. A good horror flick screws with your brain.
Yeah, I just never met a horror movie. Well, like I can't say that because I tend to like the campy ones.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can get with that. You stop and you think about the Friday the 13th movies. Those suckers are iconic. They're slasher movies, yes. And I already said that, but it's Friday the 13th. And yeah, I dig them. It's what did you call them? What did you call that type of movie?
Campy.
Campy.
Oh, campy, cheesy. Like, I'm thinking Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, Freddy Krueger and all
yeah.
that.
Same thing, right? Same idea. Friday 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. Those are both campy, flicks. They're not horror movies per se. I mean, I don't think a slasher movie should be called a horror movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that said, have you ever heard of the movie The Devil's Rejects?
Heard of it.
You've never seen it?
Nope.
I have to tell you, you need to watch it.
I will not.
No, you need to.
No, I will not. I just got done explaining. I don't like horror movies.
Yeah, no, I get it. What I'm saying is you need to watch it because this movie, ever since Bray Wyatt has, first debuted in WWE, from the very first time I saw the promo, We're Coming, the movie, The Devil's Rejects, has popped into my brain as, the type of movie. If you're putting Bray Wyatt into a movie, that would be that type of movie. And this is the reason why I'm saying you need to watch it if you want to see if that would fit for Bray. I don't know. Again, it's a WWE movie, so you can't expect some kind of Academy Award winner.
Well, no.
Something straight to video. May 19th. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, a movie based on the life of Mae Young. What do you think of that?
It's an interesting choice.
Uh-huh.
WWE right now is really building up Mae Young, especially with like the Mae Young Classic and all that.
Yep.
You know, it's just to be the, you know, this pioneer of women's wrestling. It's weird because I think, you know, because when I think that, I think like Fabulous Moolah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like amazingly long championship reigns and, you know, the longevity of her career.
But the thing is, you would have to look at the personal life of Moolah and the personal life of Mae Young. Mae Young had, she went through a lot more stuff than Moolah went through.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna book a movie around one of them, then Mae's got a better story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. So, biopics like that, that's one of my guilty pleasures. I love a good biopic. And yes, I understand that they could be as much as, 30% fiction. In some cases, 40, or if you let Oliver Stone direct, 90% fiction. The Doors. JFK. But, even though you get 30% bullshit, 70% reality is still awesome. And I love a good biopic because it does give you an insight into a lot of the shit that a lot of these people went through. Problem is the average person is going to look at that and think it's gospel. I mean, if you look at the movie Young Guns or Young Guns 2, I don't know if you've seen either one of those.
Not ringing bells.
Okay, two movies about Billy the Kid starring Emilio Estevez as Billy the Kid. The first movie had his brother Charlie Sheen in it as well. Both of those movies were based on actual facts. For the longest time, people thought that Billy the Kid was left-handed because of the only photograph in existence that we think is Billy the Kid was actually a mirror image tintype, so it made him look like he was left-handed. He wasn't left-handed. They pointed that out in the movie. At one point in time, Billy the Kid worked on a ranch, and he was a member of this group called the Regulators. They portrayed that. He worked for a guy named John Tunstall. They portrayed that. And then they took liberties. In the movie, John Tunstall was an elder British gentleman. In reality, John Tunstall was like 27 years old when he was murdered. You know, just as an example. Along that line, it's going to make me want to research the history of Mae Young when I see the movie. And of the two, like, you know, there's really no inkling about what this Bray Wyatt future film might potentially be. But all you have to do is say it's a movie about Mae Young. Oh, well, then it's going to be about Mae Young. And, you know, I'm there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, you have to be interested in wrestling. But if they do it right, it's not going to be a movie about wrestling. It's going to be a movie about a person who was a wrestler and a damn good woman's wrestler.
Yeah. And so, you know what? I've seen The Wrestler. I know that can be done really well.
That's a great movie. And boy, it's funny how much flack it took from the wrestling community.
Well, one tends to get mad when they see truth presented.
This is true. And it was a case of the truth stings a little bit. I mean, a lot of that happens. Not all of it. Some of it was a little bit too, flaky, but, you know, still, it's a damn good story. And, as long as they don't do the wrestler type of movie with Mae Young, because Mae Young was a real person, I'm there. As soon as it's out, I'll be watching it. So I'm interested in that one. I currently, at this point in time, because I have no further information, have no interest in a Bray Wyatt movie. You, not being a horror fan, probably never will have interest in a young Bray Wyatt movie.
Well, I would have interest because, one, it's not going to be good horror. It's WWE.
Yeah.
But, you know, just for the sake of, well, this is a very different way of presenting the backstory of a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. That has my interest.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I do know we should probably take our next time out here, have a little break, get some refreshments, and get ready for the final leg of the webcast tonight. Great Balls of Fire preview and pick 'em. Coming up, well, along with, of course, the all-time greatest and what's the best thing you saw this week in the world of professional wrestling. That being said, stick around, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Who is the greatest Canadian of all time? CB Radio has decided.
They get thrown, get her to the job. But listen, you kid, don't get caught in the Canadian syndrome, where if it's Canadian, it's got to be bad. We're the best. I've been telling you the best.
Oh, Canada.
Fucker.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
But I go out at WrestleMania 10, and I beat you 1, 2, 3, which is what I'm going to do. And you know it, and I know it, and it's only a matter of time. Then that makes me better than you, doesn't it, Brett?
Who the fuck's Justin Bieber?
Two classmates. Oh, is that the Christmas party? I fondled that secretary's breast.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate. Heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widowsky, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Okay, I'm not Jerry Lee Lewis.
No, you're really not.
Were you laughing?
No.
Somebody laughed. Okay, I want to know one thing about that CB radio commercial you put together for, by the way, thanks for the backhanded Happy Canada Day thing last night on CB radio.
You're welcome. We are very patriotic on that show.
Who is that? It's a weird voice talking about fondling that secretary's breasts.
That would be you.
I couldn't place that. I did not know what TV show you got that from.
That was you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
I've never fondled that secretary's breasts. Over and over again.
Okay, Bill. Whatever you say.
Exactly. All right. Now it's time for the Great Balls of Fire preview. My balls are great and they're on fire. Stop it.
You may want to get them checked out then.
They've got a shot for that. Penicillin is your friend.
Insert lead a joke here.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh no, don't call her a hoe. Maybe a wrestling news website headline. Oh no.
Well, you know what?
Don't worry, I didn't make it a gif.
Okay, enough lead a jokes. Can we just turn the page?
See what I did there?
At Flames Forums on the Twitter.
Yeah, go ahead, bitch at me. Anyway, this is where we should probably do the preview and pick 'em, Rock.
It is, and did you bring up the random thing picker?
What random thing picker?
There you go. We just talked about Bray Wyatt in the last segment. He has a match against Seth Rollins at Great Balls of Fire. Who you got, Omega?
God, I don't know what they have in... It's hard for me to think of what they have in mind for either one right now. I don't know. I feel like both of them have been on a losing streak, and between one now is going to have an upcoming movie, and the other one is, well, I guess the only real thing you have is, like, one of them is your cover boy for the next video game. Like, I'm trying to suss out in my brain exactly who has a reason to actually win this match, because both of them have been kind of on a losing streak lately.
If the idea is to point Bray at Finn, Bray should win. Because Seth Rollins really has no place on this. He really has nowhere to go. He just feuded with Joe, but now what? There's no other real heel. Is it going to be get what Seth Rollins and Braun?
If the SummerSlam plans keep changing, possibly.
Because that's the only other real established heel they got.
Like maybe it's that or Miz, but that feels like a step down.
It would be a step down for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, of course, that didn't stop them with Dean.
I think Dean is more suited to chasing the IC title than Seth would be, though.
But it was a step down for Dean because he just came off the WWE title, and 4 months later he's fighting for the IC title.
Mm-hmm. As of the case, Dean would elevate the title, or the title would pull Dean down?
I would say it pulled Dean down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's tagging with Heath Slater and Rhino on television now, so that says something. So who you got, Mike?
Let's give it to Bray.
Mike, who you got?
I'd give it to Bray, too.
Tim, who you got?
Well, I would say hands down Bray, but it's a pay-per-view. And he's won, what, 2 pay-per-view matches in his career?
That's not a fact.
Okay, 3.
That's not a fact.
Hang on, let me finish. If they are pointing Bray at Finn, then you got to give the win to Bray, like you guys were saying. I mean, it's absolutely dumb. Right now, it's filler. And I don't care if Bray wins clean or if it's by hook or crook. As a matter of fact, I'd be perfectly fine if Bray won dirty instead of clean.
And the random thing picker says what?
Bray Wyatt. Oh, by the way, Random Thing Picker is all done and it's all ready. Like all the matches.
Well,
we're done.
Maybe there's one more coming. Raw Women's titles on the line. Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks. Mike, who you got?
All the matches that are on the rundown.
I fucking hate this match. I really do. I want to say Alexa Bliss is going to retain, but I got to say, I don't want to, Mama. Don't make me say it. Fucking Sasha Banks.
Omega.
So again, in my head, what do you do with Alexa if she loses other than just run the feud longer?
Do you really need to take the belt off Alexa?
No.
I don't think you do.
You don't, because she's not facing, well, she's facing girls, but she needs to face people that aren't most girls.
Yet you just took Sasha to get the belt off Alexa.
No, but see, because I'm thinking WWE logic, that's why. Considering the fact. No, considering the fact that she's now nominated for a Teen Choice Award.
So are the Bellas.
Fuck them.
John Cena and
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan do.
They put rings on them.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Omega.
Did we stop?
No, I don't think you have any reason to take off Alexa right now. Like, if anything, they'll pull this match out. They'll pull this feud out a little bit longer. And I think Alexa's got this.
Tim,
Alexa's had the belt how long? 2 months?
End of April, yes, 2 months.
Okay, so 2 months. And her first, last, and only major feud so far has been with Bayley.
That has been the life.
And for some reason, WWE is currently sour on Bayley for reasons nobody can comprehend. This is a feud that's going to last at least 3 major matches. And Sasha ain't taking the belt next week.
Random Thing Picker?
Alexa Bliss.
The Cruiserweight Championship's on the line. Neville versus Akira Tozawa. Random Thing Picker says...
Oh, you caught me in the middle of a yawn, you bastard. Neville.
Tim, what do you say?
Neville.
Mike, what do you say?
Points, 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 points.
He's picking Tozawa.
Yeah, for Omega.
I'm picking Neville.
He's doing points for Omega.
Neville's...
No, if you pick Tozawa, it would be points for Omega.
Hey, on WTR Fantasy, who picked Braun Strowman?
Believe the intern?
Nope.
Believe so.
Nope. I picked Braun Strowman as my guy. Double check, you knucklehead. Because I remember when he got hurt.
Braun Strowman is on Team Intern.
Nope, that's not right. Team Intern, you stole him, and I'm taking him back because I picked him.
Omega, who did you pick?
I didn't pick Braun.
Tozawa or Neville?
Tozawa. Like Neville's had a decent run. He needs someone that can actually stop him at this point.
You're big on Titus Worldwide, aren't you?
Oh no, fuck that shit. But Tozawa's literally the only guy being built in that entire division right now.
And on your team. Oh. He's your
side of the point.
He's your MVP.
He's the most consistent earner. I have no idea why. I have the whole fucking Shield and they can't buy me a win.
Speaking of the Shield, Roman Reigns takes on Braun Strowman in an ambulance match, Omega.
This one got fucked.
We were supposed to have this match, what, 2 months ago?
We were supposed to have it 2 months ago.
No, wait, last month we were supposed to have it. Instead of the 5-way.
Well, you're supposed to have it before.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we start getting reports about how the plans are changing. We might see a titles change before WrestleMania instead of waiting until next year for Brock versus Roman.
Which everyone said was a bad idea to begin with, doing the year-long build.
It doesn't work. It's too much of a risk. Fans are still not behind Roman enough for that to work. And Raw, God, I feel like Raw needs his champion to be present, especially when it's the Universal title and it's not as well established.
So Roman's going over?
Before I would say Braun was an easy win for this match, I will actually say Roman now. It doesn't feel like that would work anymore.
If the direction is Brock, yeah, it doesn't feel right. Mike.
Roman.
Tim.
Contingent on what happens tomorrow night on Raw, I might be changing this prediction, but for now I'm going with Roman Reigns.
The Universal title will be on the line. Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, but first... I remember, just circling back, Random Thing Picker.
Roman Reigns.
Random thing picker picks Brock Lesnar or Samoa Joe.
What?
Random thing picker picks Brock Lesnar or Samoa Joe.
What? No, it picks Brock Lesnar. There is no or Samoa Joe. It picked Brock Lesnar.
For the Universal title, Omega, who you got?
Brock. This is going to be a hell of a match. Just two monsters slugging it out, but Joe's going to die.
Mike, who you got?
The crowd. But Pork Laser.
And Tim?
I know that reference. God damn you.
Bork Laser? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
This is something that's familiar to me, too, for some reason. Why?
It really shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be.
But it is. I've heard it before. Where have I heard it?
I don't know, but you wouldn't have heard it where we heard it.
I don't know. Where'd you hear it?
Tell you after the show.
Aw.
Make your pick.
Brock Smash.
Possible matches on this show include Enzo Amore versus Big Cass Omega.
This really shouldn't happen yet. This would be way too fast-tracked.
It might not, but it's likely it will.
Let's cover our asses and pick this match.
COA.
Well, it's WWE. It's going to be Cass.
Tim.
I would, rightfully pick Big Cass.
Mike.
Big fucking Cass.
Random thing.
Enzo Amore.
Tag team titles will be on the line, hopefully. Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Hardys. Mike.
Cesaro and Sheamus.
Tim.
Cesaro.
Random thing picker.
Cesaro.
Omega.
Yeah. Yes. Cesaro, Sheamus.
Goldust versus R-Truth, Mike.
My toilet. Goldust.
Too much information.
Tim.
Dusty.
Random thing.
R-Truth.
Omega.
Goldust.
Impossible Finn versus Elias Sampson, a.k.a. The Drifter. Omega.
So many that hurt me. Finn.
Omega. Mike.
Finn.
Tim.
I would say Finn.
Random thing picker.
Stall for a second.
I told you like 5 minutes ago.
I know that. Shut up.
10 minutes ago, actually.
I still told you to stall for a second because I felt like it. Random is picking Finn as well.
You go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio. Remember, when the full card is posted to make your picks, you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio as well. Which takes us to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Hello, ladies.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Omega.
Val's music is very iconic of the character, but it is, we'll be completely honest here. It is just a straight up porn soundtrack, which of course fits the character, but it's just straight up porn jazz. The best part about Val Venus's entrance music was the video attached to it that had all of the phallic references.
Well, we're not doing best entrance video.
Yeah, we're not doing best entrance video, but that's what made that entrance hilarious. The music itself doesn't really stand up. Rocks has appropriately rock, but also it has a more dramatic sense to it with the synth beats going into it. I think it fits. That works way better for the Rock. It's the better song.
Mike,
the Rock.
Any explanation or no?
Porn versus something that they put thought into. The Rock.
Tim?
On Twitter, porn wins. But Here's the difficulty with this. You wouldn't think, an entrance song for Val Venus taking on an entrance song for The Rock. It's not as cut and dried as people might think. I mean, they're both iconic. They're both absolutely perfectly adapted to the character. Omega said it, the phallic symbols in the video make the entrance the complete package. And when you hear Val's entrance music, it makes you think of the damn entrance video. What sticks with you ultimately more? It's not because Rock was a bigger star than Val Venus. That has definitely got nothing to do with it. When I stop and think about it, can I think, just call to mind Val Venus' song as readily or more so than I can The Rock's song? What can I play in my head more easily? What's quicker to recall? The most notable about Val Venus's is the opening, "Hello, ladies." With The Rock, it's the strong percussion with the synth. You know what I mean? If it was not The Rock, Val would get my vote. But right now, it's The Rock.
There you go, The Rock moves on.
Well, it's a big show. Oh, it's a big bad show tonight. Oh, baby, come on.
Mike.
Whew. The dramatic version, good old Ken Shamrock. I mean, I can't explain it. It's when you hear when you hear that theme, somebody gonna get fucked up. Ken Shamrock.
Omega.
I couldn't even remember whose theme that was at first.
That's a bad sign.
It is a bad sign. Though to be fair, when the first four lyrics of the other song is "It's the Big Show," a little bit harder to forget. So memorable has to be taken into account. But I like how Big Show's theme, like the first one felt more like the spectacle of the Big Show, but the remix, the different version was, the words are slowed down, the beats and the guitar is a lot heavier. Like, it sounds like a big song. It sounds like a heavy song, and that it's very interesting to me to have a theme that sounds like how Big Show looks. So aside from lyrics aside, that's where it works for me. So I'll go Big Show.
All right, Tim, break the tie.
Well, it's like Mike said, when you heard Ken's music play, you knew somebody's going to get an MMA-style beat down. And you always hope that it was Ken Shamrock taking on Owen Hart. But just because I hear it every day at 1 o'clock local time for on the sports channel that I listen to, radio station here in Calgary, Fan 960, they've got a 1 to 5 o'clock program called The Big Show, and they play that theme. And so, just on the basis of that, I'm picking it.
You ready to pick Big Show?
Yep. Right. It's the big bad show tonight, y'all.
Big Show moves on. Here's our final one of the evening. What you gonna do when we come for you? Hurrele, hurrele, andale. What you gonna do when we come for you? Booyaka, booyaka. Omega.
It's weird for me to listen to that Lesnar theme just straight up as is when there is no crowd noise or anything, because with no crowd noise, you notice the weird record scratches in there,
mm-hmm.
which feels a little bit out of place. Besides that, it is, you know, it is again a heavy sound, you know, and it is, it's a very Goldberg-esque theme of whatever's about to walk down to that ring, it's going to kill something, which is what you need out of Lesnar theme. There's a reason that theme was pretty much the only one he's ever needed. Up against a Ray theme that I honestly never really liked that much. I always thought his first theme in WWE was a lot better. I don't know, something about POD's song just felt like it was trying too hard. I will go with Brock.
Mike.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Omega here, and I'm like, come on. I'm used to, what's the better word? Yeah, I'm used to PODs. But I don't like this Brock Lesnar theme. But, hey, Bork Laser.
Tim?
Well, Ray's theme fits him, but every time I hear it, I'm running in my head, it's the new intro to the TV show Cops. Which, no, I did not mean that racially because Rey Mysterio is a Latino, yada, 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 ha, ha, ha. It's just, it's got that feel, that flavor to it. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when I come, you know, this is, you know, almost intertwine the two songs. And if I was still DJing, I could do a major mashup on this thing with, Ray's song and the theme from Cops. I seriously could. Brock Lesnar's song. I disagree with you. Again, this is coming from my DJ background, Omega. The record scratch works for me because it's something you don't expect with something that's hard and rocky as opposed to something that's disco dance music. They time it right. It's done properly and it's not overdone. And it fixes in like almost a non sequitur type thing, which is a break, which leads to me saying, you could practically choreograph a Brock Lesnar match by listening to his music. Literally, seriously, you can block out the punches, you can block out the kicks, you can block out the suplexes, you can block out the F5, which is the record scratch. Boom! It's Brock Lesnar, baby.
And that is the all-time greatest. But before we go, Omega, what's the best thing you saw this week?
That would be the near chokeout of Brock Lesnar by Samoa Joe, which is a great way not only to put over the Coquina Clutch, but also show that Joe has a weapon that is actually capable of taking down the beast, which is what he needs to show right now.
And that red face.
Brock gets like tomato red in like three minutes into a match. So that's actually kind of a good way of taking advantage of his natural ability to color his head.
And not in the way people think of coloring the head. Mike, what's the best thing you saw this week?
That was the G1 climax.
I still have to watch, or else I probably would have picked the G1.
Oh, I'm sorry. Coquina Clutch. Brock turned into Super Red Brock. Too hilarious. He thought he was going to get out of it. Joe was like, nah.
Tim, what's the best thing you saw this week?
Well, you guys are picking the Coquina Clutch. That was fantastic, and it just great work at making Joe seem like an absolute massive threat to the Beast. However, we've seen it already. I'm picking, just because WWE ripped off my WTR Sims booking, I'm picking the Women's Gauntlet. They're thieves. They rip off a good idea every time I come up with one, and I want my goddamn royalties.
There you go.
So there.
That's it.
We're done. Kind of. Except for plugging. Plug, 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 plug. Tomorrow night, immediately following Rod's The Raw Post Show.
We'll tell you all things that are happening as it's the Go Home Edition to Great Balls of Fire on The Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Tuesday night, the aforementioned WTR Sims on twitch.tv/rackradioshow. You want to check it out. Rock, because he has nothing but time on his hand, has turned basically all of us into wrestling characters on WWE 2K17 and pits us against absolutely everybody on the roster. And we've got like three different belts. And who knows, maybe he'll introduce tag teams. But check it out Tuesday night. He's got shit planned. And I'm thinking I'm going to actually book another WTR Sims in the very near future, kids.
There you go. Most likely WTR Sims this Tuesday night, since it's, you know, 4th of July. But probably 4th of July edition of WTR Sims, twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Now this is where Tim's going to say, hey, Thursday nights, check out The Rack. Rack won't be live this week, but don't worry. We're going to have plenty of content for you. On Thursday morning or afternoon, whenever it gets finished, we'll have a special edition of The Rack. We'll preview Great Balls of Fire. We'll recap Slammiversary and have all the news and all the other bells and whistles. Maybe a guest. See what happens if they confirm it. It is The Rack. Thursday, available in podcast, usually at 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays. But it'll be a podcast edition of The Rack Thursday afternoon at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Speaking of The Rack, go back and listen to last week's episode, which was the 5-year show. That's available at rackradioshow.com. Also coming this week will be the Rack Extra Glow Edition. We're going to talk about the series that's airing on Netflix. So spoilers will be said. It's the Rack Extra Glow Edition coming this week as well. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search Rack Radio Show. We're there. We're everywhere. Just search for us.
What he said. Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it. It's another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Weird, the Unusual, the what the hell are they talking about? CB Radio.
Last night we did, through all the technical problems, we did Canada Today. We also determined who is the greatest Canadian of all time.
And you got it wrong because you forgot to pick, you didn't pick me.
Tim was on the list. But he jobbed to a hitman. But follow along.
It's just absolutely foul. I'm sorry. I should not have lost to Bret Hart. I demand a rematch.
Maybe we'll make that happen in another realm.
Rubber match, best of three.
Super Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. This week we're doing One Hit Wonder Song, so check it out.
Awesome! I can't wait! Programming note, WTR Sunday night is going to be about an hour later next week because of the pay-per-view. So immediately following Great Balls of Fire, head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com to get into the chat room and listen to us tell you what we thought about those big balls of fire that happened, that's going to be going down next Sunday night. Follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday night. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/WTR Sunday night. Did I tell you to follow me on the Twitters at Flames Forums? I think I just did. But enough of that. Go ahead, Omega.
If you want to see what I am up to, I do not hide on the internet. Far from it. You can find me pretty much anywhere. If you check out over on Facebook, you can find me at TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, Twitter is TJ Omega. YouTube is TJ Omega, where I've been on hiatus, but that ends tomorrow. I'm back to work. And for the stuff that YouTube does not let me post there, it is over at TJOmega.org.
Mike.
And for those of you who want to be a friend of the black guy, you can add me on the Twitter page. It's the WTR Oreo.
Wait, you're black?
Yes, I am black. And then you can look into my project. You can look up on Facebook. It is called United Wrestling. We just actually had a show probably not too long ago. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. And you guys can probably watch some of the footage. and we are going to enjoy ourselves, and yes, enjoy.
I did not understand that. Okay. You just said you can enjoy yourselves on enjoy.
You can enjoy yourselves while watching this project.
There
okay.
You go.
No, don't do that in public, though.
Not that. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Say good night, Tim.
Good night, everybody. Have yourselves a good one. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.